dear godly and spiritual woman. We look again at our text, and there in verse 10. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept. Last Sabbath day we considered Hannah and her sorrow. This morning, the Lord's want to consider Hannah. Fact that of Elkanah's two wives indicate that she was his first wife. That being so, Hannah must have been childless for a considerable time. Nina, Elkanah's other wife, we're told, had sons and daughters. Verse 4. And no doubt every time a son or a daughter came into the world, every time the child was her, he felt her barrenness more and more. With every cry of a newborn babe, cry, I am sure, went up to from the heart of this godly woman, Hannah. Since the Lord had shut up her womb, what could Hannah do? As the years passed by, and her barrenness became more and more real to her, and as Penina bore more and more children, what else could Hannah do but pray? And pray she did. And pray that the Lord would have mercy upon her. That it would no more be said that the Lord could turn this barrenness into fruitfulness. And only the Lord could change Hannah's circumstances from Hannah had no children, into Hannah now has children. So Hannah gave herself over to praying to that end. Now regarding Hannah's supplications and prayers, I want you to notice with me, first of all, Hannah was broken in prayer. We read in verse 10, and prayed and wept sore. You see a woman who was broken in prayer, praying for a child. Hannah, of course, was not the first, and neither will she be the last, to pray with brokenness of heart and with tears in her eyes. It is interesting to note that the first reference, the first mention of tears in the Bible are the tears of a mother. The tears of a mother mentioned in Genesis 21 verse 16, and they were the tears of Hagar. Genesis 21:16, and she set over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. The first mention of someone weeping in Scripture are the tears of a mother. And many a mother has wept over their children since then. Not only do mothers weep and shed tears, fathers also. David was a broken man when he learned about the death of his son, Absalom. I've often said that the words of 2 Samuel 18 and verse 33 to me are among the saddest words found anywhere in Scripture. Because upon hearing about his son Absalom, that rebellious son, we have these words, verse 33, 2 Samuel 18. And the king was much moved, and went up to the chamber over the gate, and wept. And as he went, thus he said. Just look at the words of that verse. Let them sink into your mind. Just picture David. The messenger has just come from the battlefield. And the messenger has found it very difficult to inform David that his son Absalom was dead. And the king was much moved. And he went up to the chamber over the gate. And it says, as he went, you can see him in your mind's eye walking, a broken-hearted father, walking and the tears streaming down his cheeks. And this is what he said as he walked. Oh, my son, Absalom. My son. My son, Absalom. Would God I had died for thee, O Absalom. My son, my son. Any father can surely enter into and understand something of David's heartache at that time. Mothers pray for their children and weep. Fathers pray over their children and weep. But then who can forget the prayers of our dear Savior in his tears as he wept over his children? Hebrews 5 and verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, Paul said, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard, and that he feared. Christ wept tears over children. We are his children. That means he wept over us. Hannah wept because she had no children. David wept over a lost child. And the Lord Jesus wept over his children. Prayers which flow from a broken heart tend to be answered, as David said, a broken and a contrite heart, God, thou wilt not despise. And that is how Hannah prayed, with a broken and a contrite heart. That's how this, and this is how we learn of the powers of a mother's prayers. When a mother prays for her children out of a broken heart, and a mother prays over her children with tears streaming down her cheeks, those prayers be heard and those prayers tend to be answered. We must examine what it was which broke the heart of Hannah. A broken and a contrite heart. Hannah prayed in bitterness of soul and wept sore. What led to this brokenness and this weeping of soul? First of all, there is the indignity. That is the indignity she suffered at the hands of Penina. Look at verse 7. And as he did so year by year, that is Elkanah's husband, when she went up to the house of the Lord, that is Peninnah, so she provoked her, that is Hannah. Therefore she wept and did not eat. And so as the family went up to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, Peninnah went up there with her children. As Elkanah said, he spoke about her children and her sons or her daughters. I thought that was interesting. He doesn't say our sons and our daughters. He says her sons and her daughters. But as they went up to their place of worship, Peninnah would provoke Hannah, because there was Peninnah with her little brood with her, sons and daughters, and there was Hannah with no children at all. And Peninnah provoked her. And all the indignity of it all, there was Hannah with no children. It was difficult enough, it was hard enough for a Jewish woman not to have children, because every Jewish woman expected that she would be the one who would give birth to the Messiah. And so every woman in Israel hoped that she would be the mother of the Messiah. And every woman wanted to have children. And that was one of the reasons why. But here was Hannah with no children, and so therefore she wept and did not eat. It was then, we're told, that she prayed there in that place, there in the place of worship, and it was there that she found or made prayer a refuge. How often, believer, have we made the place of prayer our place of refuge? How often have we received bad news? Maybe a letter or a telephone call. And I remember when the Reverend Wagner was here last year, in the course of one of his messages, he said, you know, every one of us one day is going to receive that phone call. We're all going to receive a phone call at some time or another. It's going to tell us bad news. But believer, how often in the past have we received that phone call or received a message, and we have made the place of prayer our place of refuge? We have gone immediately, perhaps up into the bedroom, into the study, and we've closed the door, and we have sought the place of the Lord, and like Hannah, we've poured out our heart to the Lord. And that place, that closet, that study, that bedroom has been our place of refuge as we've prayed out of a broken heart, tears streaming down our cheeks. It's not easy to cope. It wouldn't have been easy for Hannah to have coped with this harsh and hurtful, these harsh and hurtful words that came from Peninnah. What Hannah did was to go to the Lord, was to pray for grace. You remember what we said last week? Hannah's name means grace. And everywhere you look in Hannah's life, you see the evidence of grace. And you'll notice here that whenever Peninnah provoked Hannah, Hannah did not retaliate. In fact, Hannah said nothing. But what she did do was to go to the place of prayer. And that's where she said something. She told the Lord about it. She didn't retaliate to Peninnah. She didn't get into an argument with Peninnah. She took the Lord and she left it there. And how good it is that the Lord gives us grace in times like that, when we have hurtful and harsh words said to us, that we can go to the Lord and we can find refuge under the shadow of the Almighty. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can't find a friend so faithful, who will all our sorrows share. Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. That's what Hannah did. And the place of prayer became her place of refuge. And he is the one who knows all about harsh and hurtful words. That is the Savior. So when we go to Christ in prayer with a broken heart, understand this, that the Lord Jesus understands your broken heart. It is not strange to him. He's not insensitive to you and I when we go to the Lord with a broken heart. For he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. In other words, he enters into the feelings of our infirmities. We mentioned there that dear man out of the church in Prince George. Our elder there. Wife went home to be with the Lord last week. And he's left now with 4 young children. His wife died of cancer. 4 young children. Now our hearts go out to our dear brother. And our hearts go out to those children. But can any of us here enter into the heart of our brother Pat? Can any of us understand how he's feeling at this time? Can any of us understand how it will be when he goes up to the Lord's house this morning and the chair beside him will be empty? None of us can enter in how our brother will feel. But Jesus knows. The Lord Jesus Christ knows. Isn't he a wonderful Savior? And isn't he a wonderful friend? And Hannah went to him in her sorrow. Hannah went to him in her brokenness. Hannah went to him in all her tears and prayed. Something else, I believe, that would have added to her brokenness and increased her tears. Not only the indignity that came from Penina, but think of the insensitivity that we see Hannah's husband. That is the insensitivity of her husband Elkanah to his wife's situation. Look at verse 8. Now we have read in verse 7, therefore she wept and did not eat. And verse 8, then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? Did he not know? Did he not know why his wife was weeping? Why weepest thou? Why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? He didn't understand. He didn't understand how Hannah, his wife, felt. He didn't understand her grief. Know anything about the pain of her disappointment and her desolation. He didn't understand. Notice he asked his wife 4 questions. 4 questions, and Hannah didn't answer one of them. You can just again picture in my mind, there's Hannah, and she's sitting at the table, and she's not eating, and she's weeping. And Elkanah, her husband, wants to know why she's not eating, and why she's weeping. And he says to her, am I not better to thee than 10 sons? You can almost see Hannah shaking her head. Does my husband not understand? Elkanah was so insensitive. And here was her partner for life. Here was the person who was supposed to be closest to her. And yet he doesn't understand. And he's so insensitive to how Hannah felt. And there are times when we have problems, knowing that we cannot share them with anyone because they just wouldn't understand. This was Hannah's case. Broken-hearted because she didn't have a son that she could call her own. Broken-hearted because there was another woman in the home who provoked her sore. Broken-hearted because her husband, her nearest and dearest, this side of eternity, was so insensitive, and he didn't understand. How many mothers who have children? How many mothers today who have children are broken-hearted over them because of their waywardness? But who can they tell? Who can they tell their story to? Who can they unburden their hearts to? Nobody. Nobody. But the Lord. Because nobody else can understand. Nobody else can enter into their thoughts and their mind and their heart. And how they feel. Nobody can understand it. Even those, there are those parents who are in the same situation. But they cannot understand how someone else feels. So they cannot tell anybody else. And maybe if they did, it would only exaggerate or aggravate the situation. It is amazing how some people can adopt a holier-than-thou attitude when it comes to someone else's children. I remember a dear sister in the Lord and her husband, and a very spiritual and godly girl. But before they had children, I remember her saying, oh, I wouldn't let my son do that. I wouldn't let my children do that. I wouldn't allow them to do this and that and the other thing. Well, when children came along, she had to confess that it's different when the children arrive. And there are things you allow your children to do that maybe with no children you said, oh, I wouldn't let them do that. And how easy it is for others to be critical of others' children. And how insensitive they are, just as Elkanah was. Something really gets to me is when people talk about PKs. Everybody has to abbreviate things now. PKs, pastors' kids. And People seem to think, well, pastors' kids should be something, should be different from every other person's kids or children. But people seem to forget. We're all depraved. Doesn't matter what kind of a home we're born into. We're all depraved. We've all a depraved nature. And what we ought to be doing is praying for one another's children. That's what we should be doing. But here was Elkanah. And he was so insensitive, so distanced, so far away from how his wife felt about not having a son. He had, may we say, the audacity to say, am I not better to you, Hannah, than 10 sons? All Hannah wanted was one son. No doubt she knew that her husband loved her. She wanted a child. So when we're burdened, we cannot share our burden with others. Because the people wouldn't understand. We can do what Hannah did. And as Peter exhorts us to do, 1 Peter 5 and 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Hannah was broken in prayer because of the indignity and because of the insensitivity, and I believe without a doubt she was also broken in prayer because of her inability. That is, Hannah's inability to bear children. Our text tells us, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and sore. Bitterness of soul. Now, not for one moment do I believe that Hannah was bitter against the Lord. There is absolutely no indication of that at all. Neither do I believe she was bitter against her husband. And I'll say something else. I don't believe for one moment that Hannah was bitter against Peninnah. Even though Peninnah provoked her so. I don't believe Hannah was bitter against Peninnah or against her husband or against the Lord. And so who was she bitter against? What caused this bitterness? I believe she was bitter against her own self. Because of her inability to bear children. She was bitter against herself and grieved because she was unable to bear children. You know the way you'd like to do something, but you just can't do it, and you get mad at yourself because you can't do it? You may maybe see somebody else doing something, and you say, oh, I wish I could do that, and you try it, and you can't do it. And you're angry, not at the person who is able to accomplish something, but at yourself. Because you don't have the ability to do it. That's how I believe Hannah felt. Her bitterness of soul was against herself. After all, Peninnah had children running around her feet, had neither son nor daughter to have and to hold. She compared her situation with that of Peninnah, no doubt said, why? Why couldn't I be a bearer of children? That, no doubt, is the complaint of many a mother today. Who see other mothers whose children are safely gathered into Christ. They're safe under the blood. They're going on with God. They're loving, showing their love for the Savior. And they say, why can't my home be like that mother's home? And they're not mad or angry or bitter against that mother. just better against themselves. Why couldn't my home be like that? And they weep, and they cry, and like Hannah, they are in bitterness of soul, and they pray unto the Lord. But you know something? There's power in a mother's prayers. As we shall see with Hannah, there's power in a mother's prayers. Hannah was not only broken in prayer, Hannah was bruised in prayer. Here was a woman who was greatly bruised about a son. She was hurting. She was hurting. And when Eli the priest mistook her praying for drunkenness, Hannah told Eli, "I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink." And then she proceeds to reveal to Eli the feelings of her heart. Verses 15 and 16. And Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord. I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial," for the daughters of Belial, the worshippers of Belial, were known for their drunkenness. "For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto." She was bruised. What a clear description of a truly burdened soul and a bruised heart. And it is evident how bruised she was. Elkanah, her husband, didn't know how she was and didn't understand how she felt or why she wept. He tried to soothe her hurt. He tried to remove her sorrow by saying, "Am I not better unto you than 10 sons? But it didn't work. And certainly Eli the priest didn't understand either, for we see the charge that Eli made. Look at verse 13. "Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thine wine from thee." What a charge! To be put to a woman who was already broken-hearted. What a cruel charge this was coming from the high priest. He completely misunderstood her, not knowing her heart, not knowing her circumstances. He spoke too soon. He spoke out of turn. He didn't know anything about Hannah or anything about how she felt. She was like that king. The city of Samaria was under siege and had been under siege for months. And women were reduced to cannibalism, killing their own children and eating the flesh of their children. And two women entered into an agreement that they would kill their children. One woman kept the agreement and the other didn't. And the woman who kept the agreement and had slain her child went to the king and complained to the king. And there he stood on the wall in his royal garments, And whenever the king heard this, received this word, he tore his royal garments, an indication that his heart was broken. He tore off his royal garments, and the people saw that he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. In other words, the king of Samaria had a hidden burden. The people saw the king in his royal robes and they thought, this king doesn't care. And doesn't care about us. But when he rent his royal robes, there was sackcloth, the garments of mourning, within, upon the flesh. He was a king with a hidden burden. Hannah was a woman with a hidden burden. Hannah had sackcloth within upon the flesh. Eli would have been better saying nothing. So when we are tempted, perhaps, to censor someone and be critical, let us remember the mistake that Eli made, because we don't know. We don't know what's going on in that person's heart. We don't know how they're feeling. We don't know about their home. We don't know about their family. We don't know about their children. We don't know. So it's better to say nothing. If you want to say something, well, go and say to that person, I'm praying for you. And leave it there. But he made this charge. It's quite strong too. Charged her with drunkenness. He thought she had been drunken and said, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. Dear, dear. Let us always remember the words of the psalmist. Psalm 141 and verse 3. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Just one more message today. Hannah was very gracious in her reply to Eli. Here we see grace again. She said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. The daughters of Belial, as we've already said and indicated, were known for their drunkenness. Here Hannah confesses to Eli that she was not drunken, but indeed was a woman of a sorrowful spirit. That was why she gave herself over to praying. Sometimes, well, we know what it's like in the world. When people find themselves in their state of sorrow, it's not what they tend to do. They tend to drown their sorrows by taking strong drink. They want to blot out the thought of that which is causing them deep sorrow. But this woman, she drowned herself, as it were, in prayer. She prayed, and she prayed. And she followed the example of her dear Savior. For in Matthew 26 and verse 37, this is why I say the Lord understands how we feel. Matthew 26 and verse 37, and he's going to Gethsemane, and he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful. and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed. Just as Hannah had. In her sorrow, she prayed. In sorrow, Jesus prayed. And the mother of a sorrowful spirit approached the Lord to pray for her son or her daughter. Now, there's no better person to go to. And to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we would say today, Mother, in your sorrow, pray on. Because there's power in a mother's prayers. And we know, as we will see next time, the Lord answered Hannah's prayer. There's power in a mother's prayers. Keep praying. And remember, it's the prayers that are offered to the Lord in sorrow and through tears. They're the prayers the Lord often answers. And he answered the prayer of King Hezekiah when he was told he was going to die and not live. And he turned his face to the wall and he prayed and he wept. And the Lord answered prayer and told Isaiah the prophet, go in and tell Hezekiah, I have heard his prayers, I have seen his tears. And I will add to his life 15 years. May the Lord bless this study in the life of Hannah. With much more to say. What a wonderful woman. What a gracious woman. Woman that prayed. And God answered the prayers of this mother. Let's bow our heads in prayer just now. O Lord and our gracious Father, that thou art a God, Lord, thou art the God who hears the prayers of mothers. And Lord, how many mothers today, even in our own churches, Lord, who are brokenhearted and have shed many a bitter, silent tear over a son or a daughter who has gone astray. And how we thank thee, dear Lord, that even as David cried and wept over his son, so, Lord, thou dost see the tears of mothers and fathers as they weep over their children. And thou dost hear their prayers also. And how glad we are as parents, as mothers and fathers, we have someone to go to who understands. Who understands. Lord, write thy precious word upon our hearts. And again, Lord, as we often pray, may we meditate upon it this day. And may thy word encourage us and lead us, Lord, to pray more earnestly for our sons and daughters who have gone astray. Be with us, Lord, throughout this day and bless us as we travel. Return us to this place of worship this evening to spend time again in thy company.